You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America and 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 2017, just a mere few days after the September 31st, in the east anyway, mass shooting event in Las Vegas. And although people may tire of hearing about this, this is a one of those hinge moments in history, I believe, where this will be the time in history where people will be able to point and say, okay, things changed, much like 9/11, much like other significant historical incidents. So what I have done, and just to be clear, last night I was absent from our flagship show, the Hagmann Report. However, I did check in at the bottom of the first hour to let our audience know what I was doing. And I've been in contact with a couple of individuals who were on site, investigators, police officers, commissioned police officers, highly respected. I know their identities. I know their histories. And I know pretty much what they know. Okay, now we're dealing with something here. Well, the reason for my absence was I was in contact with one of these individuals, and it was an extended contact. And the information I am getting is absolutely essential to understanding the scope and the intent of what we're seeing play out here. Now, what I have done, And I ask for your indulgence, and please, here's what I ask you to do, the listener of this investigative hour right now. I have assembled a number of audio clips. Each one is important in its own right. I ask that you listen to this entire broadcast, and I ask that you open your mind and think bigger. I ask that you maintain your critical thinking skills. It's interesting to me that many people out there, I've never seen a push like this. Many people out there are pushing for a conspiracy that is beyond the realm of sensibility, I suppose. And I think in part that is to discredit the larger agenda here that's at play. Now, whether they are well-intentioned but wrong or something different, I don't know. I'm not going to make that call. My focus is not on those individuals at the moment. My focus is on getting to the bottom of the incident in Las Vegas. And again, the reason for this dominating at least this program this week and dominating the headlines, it is obviously the mass carnage, the deaths. And yes, people died there. Yes, people were shot there. Yes, this was a real incident. I've heard ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous statements claiming otherwise. And I ask that you put that aside for a moment. Just put that aside for a moment. Again, I am in contact with people who, in addition, I should point this out, in addition to the law enforcement sources I have in Clark County, in Las Vegas, the first responders, I've got a very... Well, we share backgrounds, but having said that, who stuck their hands in the holes made by the bullets of this reported shooter. Now, there is a conspiracy here. Believe me, there is a conspiracy, multiple conspiracies at play. but most assuredly not the ones some of the individuals I've heard, and I'm not going to name them, but most assuredly, you know, you can be so open-minded that your brains fall out. I ask that you not do that. It is counterproductive. But I will be playing a number of audio clips in a very specific order for a very specific reason. Because at the end of this broadcast, what I'm going to attempt to do is tie this up very neatly. We'll consider this kind of part one of the information I was given that I need to really be careful with the information to the extent that the legitimate investigation, the legitimate details, the actual investigation that's taking place at the local level with the good people involved here is not compromised. But I'll tell you this, there are images out there that are not authentic, nor have they been authenticated. There are videos out there that have been analyzed improperly. And it would take too long, and it would be counterproductive to really get into which ones I'm speaking of. I'd rather approach this from a clean slate and very methodically, given my background as an investigator, as opposed to attempting to refute other theories. It's just not going to work that way. It just would not work that way. And I ask that you really understand that this, we're talking about a real situation, real death. The mystery does not lie in, or does not exist in the situation, in the carnage. The mystery exists in the run-up to and the consequences of exactly what happened. Now, I hope you understand that. We have a ghost, if you will. Some might even refer to this kind of person as a cutout, who suddenly we are supposed to believe by the corporate mass media snapped and was a gun nut, and an eccentric gun nut, slovenly but eccentric, that just suddenly began firing upon a indiscriminate crowd of innocent people. From an investigative standpoint, I would like to just verify this. The identified individual, Stephen Paddock, his background is important. The fact that he worked, last known employment, 1985 to 1988 for Lockheed Martin, or a division thereof, as an accountant / auditor. And suddenly, we know now, and we're talking 30 years ago, now this man has two planes, two aircraft, single-engine aircraft, reportedly a high-stakes gambler, a high-limit hostess as a girlfriend, who, by the way, was depicted in an authenticated picture in Dubai, a suspect whose father was a very significant criminal, bank robber. This whole situation is bizarre. And now, some of the people I do follow on this, and I believe have good information, Laura Loomer, I believe, is on Twitter. But what we know, what I can attest to, what I can confirm is, of course, the suspect, identified as Stephen Paddock, raised in a home, of course, fatherless, based on the fact that his father was a bank robber, criminal, He's got three brothers, Eric, the outspoken one, and two other brothers, Bruce and Patrick, who you don't hear anything about or anything from. Eric, of course, interestingly, if you watch, and I don't have time to get into Eric's reaction to what happened, but if you watch the videos, you'll notice a couple of oddities there. I'm going to leave that alone because it's really not because of the time constraints. But what I really want to drive home, perhaps, is encapsulated in the following audio clip. This from Sean Hannity last night and Adam Housley. This does not give you a lot of information, but it raises the question or addresses the core issue of my focus. Take a listen.
I've never seen a case like this where it's like we're dealing with a ghost here. Something isn't right. We don't know what it is.
Right.
I don't know if it's connected to the girlfriend, and I'm not going to speculate
right.
like others in the media. I'm not building.
Right.
There's something really off here.
I've talked to four different investigators somehow connected to this case. They all say the same thing, exactly what you just said. They all have theories. I don't want to reveal any of those theories because it doesn't do us any good to do that. But they're looking at nothing. I'll tell you right this, Sean. Nothing has been eliminated.
Now, that was from Hannity program yesterday evening, October 4th, 2017. And I know, let me just say that Adam Housley, I've had some dialogue with him in the past. I know him to be a legitimate, very, very tenacious and extremely thorough reporter. But what Sean Hannity said in that audio clip there really speaks volumes. The ghost of this shooter, the lack of background. And I will say this, the shooter himself, the key to what we're looking at is the alleged shooter in this case. After speaking with my sources, plural, but one particular source yesterday, in fact, during the airing of our program yesterday, which caused my absence in speaking with this, there is much more to come out. And notice that Adam Housley said that his conversation with four investigators saying that they're exploring all avenues, nothing's off the table. Okay, to tell you what I know now, to tell you my findings, number one, based on the information I have received, it would appear that there was, with respect to the shooter himself and the incident, there was more than likely more than one shooter more than one intended shooter. Things perhaps did not go as planned with respect to the actual event. But there appears to be a network involved in this, a network involved in the shooting and a support structure that encompasses individuals that have associations with various groups within the United States. And those groups range from from proprietaries of intelligence agencies. Now, when I say that, I am not implicating the fine men and women in the FBI or CIA or anything like that. But what I am saying is there are runaway projects. Think Mena, Arkansas. Think Barry Seal. Think what happened back in the 1980s. And if you don't understand the enormity of that, then it would be good to kind of understand, or it'd be good to kind of go back and listen or go back and research what happened back then. So this is extremely critical to understand. This is not just some lone nut taking 23 rifles into a hotel in up well over 1,000 rounds of ammunition into a hotel and deciding on firing upon a group of concert goers. There's something more to this. And there is a network of support for the last 30 years. By the way, and I've got so many notes, and it's difficult to compress everything I've got into the time period, like for this particular hour. I am working feverishly, if I can say that, on creating a very thorough report with respect to this whole incident. But understand, this is an evolving. This investigation is active. It continues, and trust me when I tell you, it is complex. For example, the alleged shooter, Paddock, owned a total of 47 weapons, 33 of which were purchased within the last 12 months. All right. The Clark County Sheriff, as Lombardo, has indicated that there's suggestions. Now, he's not coming out and said this, but there's suggestions that there's more to this than is being obviously reported, obviously. The bizarre nature of what had taken place it's just mesmerized the nation. And this is what, by the way, this is what really feeds the alternative, what is known as the alternative media, the new media, the honest media. Now, anytime you have a situation like this, and again, I caution you as to who you listen to. If someone comes out, and this is me talking now, if someone would come out and say there were no bodies, this was all just a fake, okay, I would absolutely dismiss that individual would have absolutely no credibility with me. All right, knowing what I know, now, granted, I was not on site, but I can guarantee you either the individuals that I know who were on site had their hands in the bullet holes, at least one of the concert goers. So what we have really is an epidemic of lies that has infiltrated the alternative media and, of course, is the blood sport of the corporate media. Now, You take a man, as Hannity described, as a ghost. And Adam Housley said, look, you know, the investigation is, he talked to four investigators. Look, I know to a large extent Adam Housley, is the way he operates. And I can tell you he's a stellar investigative reporter. Now, what he's allowed to report versus what he knows, that, look, I don't know about that. All right. But I do know that there is a, an ISIS, or I'm sorry, an Islamic component to this, and I also know that there is an anarchist component to this. I also know that there is a money laundering component to this, as well as a gun running operation. That is, now, the money laundering and gun running operation, this is based on a quantitative amount of evidence. Now, I'm speaking again as an investigator here, not as a talk show host. So, when I look at this and when I'm getting information, the real estate, the gambling, the aircraft, all of this, the ghost-like presence, the lack of the social footprint of the alleged shooter, the planes, the tail numbers, and I see people following all of this. Trust me when I tell you the tail numbers, yes, I get that, but you're not going to, in proprietary operations, black ops, you're not going to have, it's not going to be, in most cases, 100% front and center in terms of, hey, look, you know, this tail number landed at this airport. Now, you're going to have a lot of subterfuge that is going to cover these things. So if you find, for example, and I've seen this, the citizen journalists, by the way, are doing a great job, but I also see a lot of mistakes being made, and those mistakes are being compounded by the repetition of the ostensible or alleged facts, I should say. And so the bottom line here is you've got to be extremely, and I mean extremely careful when you begin looking at this and begin receiving information from people, and even people you trust, even people you know, and I'm not claiming, believe me, I am not claiming to have I'm not claiming to have cornered the market on this or the truth on this. Far from it. But what I am telling you is that there is information out there that should you continue to follow or believe to be true will change for the worse the narrative or change the official story and create unnecessary rabbit holes where you'll spend a lot of time. And that's the intent, I believe, in some of this and some of these people. But having said all of that, that was the one clip was from Sean Hannity. I think that defines what many people are thinking, at least in the mainstream, if you will, the average environment. Now that's important. Okay. Now I'm going to be playing here next a second audio clip. And again, I'm playing these for a purpose to tie it, and I'll tie everything up at the end here. Now this next audio clip I'm going to play, it goes back to the incident itself, and it's about it's around 5 minutes and 50 seconds. It is a compilation from the EMS response, from the police response to the incident itself. What I really would like people to pay attention to, with the understanding that the initial reports are often wrong or incorrect, I believe this series, this compilation, assembled very carefully from the actual radio transmissions of the police officers, dispatch, and responding officers, contains extremely important information about the incident itself. So please listen carefully with a critical ear to the details of the information contained in this particular compilation. And this is after really hours of sifting through the audio from that incident, from that night, the early morning. So go ahead and play the police response compilation one. Here you go. Again, listen to this with a critical ear. And please, I ask for your patience in going through and maintaining your, just listen to this entire broadcast, because in the end, you'll see what I'm getting to, or the investigative analysis that I will present at the end. Go ahead and play the compilation.
It's in Mandalay Bay. Upstairs from Mandalay Bay, halfway up. I see the shots coming from Mandalay Bay, halfway up.
159 is coming from like the 50 or 60th floor, north of the Mandalay Bay. It's coming out a window.
I'm seeing multiple flashes in the middle of Mandalay Bay on the north side, kind of on the west tower, but towards the center of the casino, like one of the middle floors.
I'm inside the Mandalay Bay on the 31st floor. I can hear the automatic fire coming from one floor ahead, one floor above us.
151, I see there's a flashing coming up from about a third of the way up, center tower, Mandalay Bay. You got
anybody have eyes on this shooter?
About 15th floor on the Mandalay Bay, facing a whole lot.
751, it's been a while since we've heard any shots. Did anybody have eyes on the shooter?
But if it is coming from Mandalay, there is a strobe light coming from one of those windows on the east side.
We have a security officer also shot in the leg on the 32nd floor. He's standing by the elevator. It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Now, I apologize. I think I might have said 6 minutes. That was about a minute and a half. Did you notice that the reports of multiple shooters? Now, I understand between the ricochets, between the just all of the factors that go in, and I understand police officers would understand this better than anyone else. You've got a situation where you have got initially no idea where the shots are coming from, and however, the dispatch initially reported there was a call from the occupant of the room below the alleged shooter that said, "Look, this guy's right above me. I'm telling you, that's where he is." The response time from the Las Vegas police was 11 minutes. It was 72 minutes in total where this the incident lasted 72 minutes by itself. And by the way, and this is kind of as an aside, all right, there are certain signatures that I'd like you to pay attention to as well, all right? Now, signatures can come in various forms, floor numbers, numbers do figure into this, and I don't want to get off into a rabbit trail here, but just kind of keep this in the back of your mind. 32, floor 32. Just consider that the significance of that number, especially in operational, in matters of operation, and in the larger sense of, just keep that number in mind. All right, when you're talking about it, remember, kind of sort of like when I said there was an article posted by. It was one of the British publications where Obama had 19.5 million fake followers on Twitter. Okay, numbers mean things. Now, again, that's just one small piece of piece of anecdotal evidence. By itself, it means nothing, but it's interesting nonetheless. So you heard the response there. Now, I've played, I think, some of this before, but did you hear the reports of multiple shooters? And knowing what I know based on the information I have received from the law enforcement sources, Las Vegas is second only, perhaps even eclipses the square inches, and I mean square inches, of what is videotaped. Just eclipses London, for example, in what's videotaped. And I can tell you this, that the casinos have every square inch of public area under video surveillance. All right. Now, it's interesting to note, and I'm going to toss this out there. It's interesting to note that my source had indicated to me clearly that in addition to the network of assistance provided to this man with respect to the incident itself, there was a network of assistance. And in terms of this unholy alliance of ISIS or the Islamic terrorism and the anarchist groups in this country, this, in addition to, shall I say, the very mysterious 30-year, hey, what was this guy doing for 30 years, yet being able to be a high-stakes gambler, and also having airplanes and real estate. When you look at folks like Andrew McCarthy and Judge Napolitano, even Judge Genie, I would suggest when you look at the lifestyle of this man, And people who are unfamiliar with, by the way, with money laundering, it's difficult. Believe it or not, it's difficult to launder money. It's not that easy. If it was easy, it's not like it was, 50, 100 years ago, obviously. If you don't believe me, try putting, let's say, a $50,000 down payment, cash down payment on the house. Not that you've got it, but just go through the motions and try doing it. It's virtually impossible. Or try buying a Porsche for cash. It's not like it was. So there are questions that are asked. But the fact that this man, the man that was identified as the shooter, owned a total of 47 firearms, 33 of which were purchased in the last year, okay? It's interesting. Again, think of the numbers as well, anecdotally, not anything necessarily important, but 47 weapons, 33 purchased within the last 12 months. Think about that. So the planning of this, I can guarantee you, was months in advance. And I had played yesterday clips, audio clips from John Guandalo, understanding the threat. I think he has proven, his organization has shown beyond any reasonable doubt, or the preponderance of evidence would suggest, that there is a definite ISIS, or shall we say Islamic Muslim connection here. And that addresses, that speaks to, of course, his alleged girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, who, by the way, whose Facebook was deleted, all photographs, including a photograph of her in front of the Dubai government-owned MGM casino hotel, was also deleted. The epidemic of the Islamic terrorism in the Philippines must be considered. And last evening, one of the issues, and I'm still running this down, the $100,000 that was reportedly wire transferred to the Philippines. The obvious information was this girlfriend was the recipient of that cash, and it's stated that she was to buy a house with this. And then, of course, you have her family coming out and saying she knew nothing about this. That, in fact, she was sent away to be protected from this. Look, that, based on the information I have received and in my professional assessment, based on all of the available evidence, is inconsistent with the facts. Now, we are looking into, and I'm looking into, and I should have, hopefully, some level of additional information on this, where that money, that $100,000, went to. This was not the first large transaction that this man was involved in. I can tell you that flat out. There are others. Additionally, there are, and I probably should have said this after the multiple shooters, there are witness accounts that place other individuals in the suite and or the adjoining room of this particular hotel during his stay there. Now, you will note that this alleged shooter reportedly checked into the hotel September 28th. Others report September 25th. You will see receipts out there for in-room service. All of these combined are assaulting the narrative, assaulting the official story that this was one guy who snapped, who had too many guns, and who was a gambling addict without purpose. Now, casinos, real estate, aircraft, all of these are vehicles, tools, or part of, shall we say, necessary components of, or convenient components of, a money laundering operation. All right. By the way, one must ask, why 23 guns into the hotel room? It's an absurd number of weapons brought into the hotel room for the ostensible purpose of merely shooting at the crowd. Now, one might argue crazy people do crazy things. Sure. But 23 weapons into one room. That's a question. And there's also Sheriff Lombardo from Clark County is saying that there were indications that this man may have escape plans set up. Keep that in mind. That will I guarantee you that will be coming out in the next several days. So I'm giving you a heads up for tomorrow's headlines, attempting to live up to the name of this program, or the mantra, the adage of this program, tomorrow's headlines today. But let's get into a few more things very quickly here. Because again, the report itself that I'm working on is much deeper than this. This is more of a primer for that investigative report. But this broadcast does contain, as far as I'm concerned, extremely important information that I ask that you pay attention to, and if you have to, listen to again. And all of the audio clips serve a very specific purpose. But in the end, you have to ask, who benefits? Cui bono? Who benefits? Any investigation we conduct, what's the motive? Who benefits speaks to motive. The means, the opportunity, less difficult to really comprehend. But who benefits? And a lot of times there are layers upon layers upon layers of deception and distractions. So who benefits from this? Let's take a listen to a couple of very important, I believe, important aspects of the what I would call the collateral effect of this event. Because you're already seeing, I'll just tell you right now, you're already seeing the effects being implemented, being rolled out. Remember, after the incident following 9/11 with the Rapiscan body scanners, Michael Chertoff, you saw that, how quickly that rolled out into airports. Now you're seeing this very same playbook being used, things being rolled out at the Wynn Hotel, where people and bags are being scanned, searched, metal detectors in use as people come and go from that hotel, or coming especially into the hotel. But again, I'm trying to be linear and I'm trying to be methodical in providing you this information. Let's roll the clip from, and this is a very obvious one, Usual Suspects, but let's just roll one isolated clip from Hillary Rodham Clinton on this issue. Go ahead and roll the Clinton clip with regard to the Las Vegas shooting.
What we saw happen in Las Vegas was just another horrible example of, people with too many guns and too few restraints being able to now kill, I guess it's up to 58, mm-hmm. and injure 500.
Okay, that was Hillary Clinton after the shooting, in response to the shooting, obviously revealing her agenda or the agenda. And I would say this, had she been in office at the time of this shooting, this would be handled as an executive order, executive action, whatever it might be. But you can tell now that from this tragic incident, of course, you are and very well planned incident, but you're seeing now the reaction, and now the story is being managed. Now what happened is being politicized and managed, without shame, I might add, into this specific outcome, the Hegelian dialectic, okay? In fact, if you don't, and most people listen to the show know about the Hegelian dialectic, but see where we are headed here in this run toward this communist utopia that does not exist, but where we exchange our freedom for the rights that we are given, granted by God. And this is, we are watching this play out in real time right now. This is not 1963 anymore. In fact, this is not even 9/11/2001 anymore. The American public, by and large, are much more educated on what is taking place. They know that they're being gamed. We all know that we are being gamed. We just don't know how. We don't know the mechanics yet. And I stress yet, because we will. Not only will we know the mechanics, but we will know the people behind the people that are pulling the strings on this. Trust me when I tell you this. Okay, part and parcel to Clinton's reaction, for the sake of for the sake of my tech here, here's what I'm going to do. There are two audio clips that again speak to this incident. One is a compilation of the progressive left responses, followed by, and I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to have the tech play this. So one is the compilation of Democratic responses, followed by what, where many people, many young people get their news and their opinions shaped. And that is a late night television, these comedians. The first audio clip is, go ahead and cue it up, the Democratic response or the progressive left response to Las Vegas and their intent. And, of course, the second clip followed right after that is going to be Jimmy Kimmel, who many people look up to, young people look up to, and they actually get their news from, a public opinion shaper, okay? So, in succession, clip one, progressive response, clip two, Jimmy Kimmel. Go ahead and play those two audio clips.
First and foremost, we have to stop this dangerous gun agenda being brought forward by the majority party in the House.
We could do more extensive background checks. We could make the weapons themselves safer and less likely to have to be capable of shooting many people in a short period of time.
But also background checks and a ban on assault weapons and the high-capacity magazines.
Things like banning weaponry and modifications of weaponry that turn what might be a hunting gun into really an assault rifle.
You can't buy a Tommy gun. You can't buy a machine gun. Just move that line over to semi-automatics.
Correct.
Do you need a semi-automatic to hunt? What kind of hunting are you doing?
That's kind of a pulverized animal.
Can you imagine if we told the families of 9/11 after 9/11 that it wasn't the right time to address terrorism?
You're not a good parent if you have a gun in your house. You're not protecting your family. You're a bad parent if you have a gun in the house.
We've gotten hundreds of calls saying, do something. Yes, we should make this political. Now is the time.
I do want to say something to these nuts who spent most of the day today on television online attacking those of us who think we need to do something about the fact that 59 innocent people were killed. They say it's inappropriate to be talking about it because it's too soon. Well, maybe it's too soon for you because deep down inside, you know, in your heart, you know, you bear some responsibility for the fact that almost anyone can get any weapon they want. Now you want to cover yourself until the storm of outrage passes. You can go back to your dirty business as usual, but it's not too soon for us because we're Americans. And last time I checked, the First Amendment is at least as important as the Second Amendment.
So those two audio clips should be self-explanatory, and I think that they are. You are going to see additional push toward gun legislation, and I do think that the shadow government operatives, the embedded progressive communists within our own government, will be behind the push for this legislation. You've already got this set up. Now, even Donald Trump had referenced, well, we will have a conversation later. Okay, whether or not that was just to delay or defray that whole issue is something that remains to be seen. But going back to who benefits in this, in this, just to explain to people, all right, this is a massive undertaking that I'm involved in, and I'm attempting to do my level best at really, frankly, getting the word out. Or grabbing all of the information I can, the information that is not making the either the mainstream corporate media or the honest media, the new media. And I'm trying to do my best to speak with the firsthand people that have information firsthand. And I'm also doing my level best to accumulate documentation about everything that we're talking about here. All right, but when we look at what happened on October 1st, I truly believe in sum and substance, what you've heard in the clips, the audio segments that I've played, is number one, of course, Sean Hannity speaking. I think he would speak for the majority of the public addressing this. What would you call it? Addressing this matter of speaking to the massive audience he has, saying, "Wait a minute, there's something not right here." Adam Housley saying, "There's something not right here." So the public acknowledgement by a media figure and media figures well respected is extremely important and speaks to and for many. Now, why did I select Sean Hannity and Adam Housley? Again, it goes to a specific character. This is something that, by the way, and please understand me when I'm saying this. You know, I've dealt with Fortune 100 clients and Fortune 500 clients over the 30 years I've conducted investigations. I've worked with police departments. This is not to say, you know, oh, well, you know, how great I am. It's just, it's to, so you know, you're familiar with how I operate. And there's a tendency in America today to want answers right away. And the wanting, the being desirous of answers, immediate answers, over accuracy, is detrimental not just to the truth of the matter, but it also feeds into the, it gives ammunition to the enemies of the truth, which they will exploit. And to see this take place today, in 2017, after many, many great citizen journalists or many great people have built up their platforms and have many subscribers and followers to be tricked, hoodwinked into believing a certain lie. And I want to be very careful here because my intent is not meant to be an indictment of individuals. It's meant to caution people. Investigations like this, unraveling what I would term a conspiracy of this magnitude, takes time. And it takes cooperation. It takes a lot of legwork, a lot of shoe leather. You know, gumshoe is the word for the, you know, detectives. There's a reason for that, because you expend a lot of shoe leather in chasing down leads. This is not something where you sit behind a computer and you just type in questions and emails and phone calls. No, you've actually got to expend the energy to go out to talk with people, to get to make assessments. Or in my case, arrange somewhat unconventional contacts, like last night, with individuals who were there, who I know who they are, who've got the bona fides to talk about what they saw, who were part of the response team, who have a lot more information than the average individual, and saying, "Look, yeah, there is something wrong, but it's expending that energy, that time, the commitment of time." That's not to make excuses by saying, "Well, you're too slow." Well, this isn't television. This is not a TV a crime drama where you know who the killer is up front, or, you know, the crime is solved in an hour or 2 hours, or it's not, you know, well explained and well produced, like, you know, but think Ocean's 11, for example. Close, but, you know, not that way. It doesn't happen that tidily, that neatly. So, And that was one of the biggest issues that I had to deal with initially, and even as time went on, when you're dealing with, and I know police agencies do this local, and even state police agencies, have to do this as well. They've got to calm the masses down and say, well, wait a second here. Look, you know, we're in the middle of an investigation. We can't keep reporting on this and talking about this. And we need to focus on the task at hand. And it's not our job, we'll say. It's not our job to tell you, where we stand in any given moment in time. We will do so at appointed times. And that's not to control the information, although one could make that argument, especially when you're dealing with an active investigation and an evolving investigation. Two separate things, closely related. But it is to say, let us do our job. Let me do my job. And that's the thing. If you want the accuracy, if you depend on accuracy and truth, it's going to take a little bit of time. And that's the trade-off here. You can have all of the sensational headlines you want, all the sensational headlines you'd like. Man, there you can have it all. Or we can do this right and give you the accurate information. And that's what we're doing here. That's what I'm doing here. And that's why I ask for your patience and your support in doing what we do, because we do it a little bit differently, having the badge of multi-state licensed investigators in the private sector, and having that responsibility. That's what we do. This is not to reinforce who I am or reinforce, you know, to talk about myself, but to give you the full disclosure. In the interest of full disclosure, I am a multi-state licensed investigator. I do have the 30 years experience, and I do conduct thousands of investigations in the private sector. I've worked as an operational asset for the federal government. I understand the process. So I'm saying this only to say that there is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And if you do it the improper way, of course, there's trouble will most assuredly follow. So looking at this particular shooting, to kind of summarize everything, when you take all of everything you heard, normal people, shall we say, normal in quotation marks, of course, they're asking questions. They're saying they're noticing that things are not right here. You've got local law enforcement noticing things are not right, saying, wait a minute, this is bigger than what it appears to be. This is much larger than we believed it to be in the beginning. You've got the alternative or honest media, some unwittingly, some knowingly, providing false information. We need to stop that. We need to avoid, in this case, in our venue, that we will not give any quarter to those individuals any longer. And notice I said any longer. We will continue forward with the investigation that we are conducting. We are looking in the key here at the end of the day. From start to finish, when you listen to the audio clips, I think you can see the audio segments. You can see the questions being asked, the contemporaneous audio compilation that would most assuredly suggest that there was, even in the chaos that we saw, most assuredly suggest that there was a situation where there was more than one individual here involved. You've got an individual who has been named as the primary suspect, the shooter, who is deceased, conveniently deceased. Some say he took his own life. Others say not. The photograph I saw that has not, and I want to stress this, was leaked but not authenticated by my law enforcement source, was very graphic in nature. It showed a Caucasian male face covered in blood, a revolver at the 12 o'clock position, and a pool of blood under his head. All right. And the actual image was of the upper portion of his body. The from a forensic blood stain pattern analysis of that, very consistent with someone taking their own life using a revolver, using the gun that was depicted, and of course the bleed out from that. But the question, of course, remains, is that photograph authenticated? And the answer that I have to say is not to my satisfaction. But at issue, at the core issue here, are two things. You've got the mystery of the man and the mystery of the network. Rest assured, this man did not act alone. Rest assured that the last 30 years, three decades of his life, and most importantly, the last year of his life, are extremely important to what we saw happen on Sunday night, early Monday morning, Eastern time. Nothing with respect to what has been reported, especially pertaining to a single white male girlfriend, Asian descent, acting alone, snapping, Valium being somehow involved, you know. None of that is makes sense. It's very simple, very plain. It does not make any sense. What does make sense is the fingerprints of a proprietary operation. Perhaps that has much to do with something going awry. And the fact that this man had so many weapons, because you would not need 23 weapons in a hotel room to do what he did. Bottom line here, and I'm going to be using both the sources that I've got, but as well as what John Guandolo, understandingthethreat.com, had said. Look, there is an Islamic component to this. There is an anarchist component to this. Neither one need to be mutually exclusive. There is a seemingly proprietary legend, if you will, pertaining to the alleged shooter. Again, none of it, those three points need not be mutually exclusive. In other words, exclusive to the absence of over anyone. They could all be true. And I assert all of them are true. And the money, especially the money, when you look at the money end of this and you look at who benefits, you've got a win-win-win situation, at least in the eyes of the planners and the operators of this horrible, unspeakable act. And I guarantee you, there are powerful, in my view, powerful people behind this in a supportive role or in an exploitive role. Either one, it's shameful. What comes next, as I had mentioned yesterday, is important. And we are going to see our lives change, and not for the better, because of this. Public opinion is being shaped. Be careful who you listen to. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this made sense to you. More will follow. Doug Hagmann, radio show, 9 to 10 p.m. or 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, BTR Global Star. God bless. We'll be right back.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.